Good morning. It is wonderful to be with you this morning, and I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are visiting for the very first time. We are glad that you're here. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place that helps you find and keep your balance, a place which nourishes you and inspires you to lead a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. Following the service, you're invited to join us for refreshments in the parish hall. There you can meet friends new and old, visit our bookstall, and stop by the information tables. If you are interested in learning more about becoming a member of Unity Church, please visit the welcome table in the parish hall. As always, our adults and children's library are open after every service and available to you. The libraries are on the second floor of the Elliott Wing. I encourage you to take a look at This Week at Unity in the order of service. It serves as a guide and a roadmap to deeper involvement here at the church. Join us this Wednesday for Wellspring Wednesday. Our featured speaker is Linda Smidzik, Executive Director of Rainbow Families and a member here at Unity Church. Dinner is at 6, worship at 6:45, and the lecture and other programming begins at 7:15. The congregational survey is now in full swing. This is your opportunity to let your church leadership know how you think Unity Church is living its mission to help members and friends live lives of service, integrity, and joy. You can complete the survey online or by paper, and you should have received these in your email inbox or your mailbox by now. Additionally, surveys are available to you in the parish hall after the service. It is time for our annual Project Home, in which we open our church to homeless families. There is an urgent need for overnight and weekend shifts. Please see your yellow insert for more information. And there is a training happening in the center room at 10 o'clock this morning, directly after the service. Next Sunday, the Reverend Dottie Matthews, former Unity intern, will lead our service on Work That Is Real. She will be joined by Worship Associate Craig Allen. Services are at 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and 4:30. Finally, at the conclusion of the service, Justin, Joseph, and Carrie and I would like to greet you at the Portland Avenue doors. Again, welcome to Unity Church.
What is the color? When the black is burned, what is Life is full of rites of passage, graduations, marriage, birth, and death. Each passage marks us and teaches us something about what it means to be alive. As a faith community, we intentionally hold a sacred space to celebrate these turnings, great and small, in our lives. Today, we celebrate our 9th grade coming-of-age class. They have wrestled with life's biggest questions, learned from their mentors, advisors, and classmates, and now they come before us to speak and share their deepest truth. Come, let us celebrate and worship together. Love is the spirit of this church, and service is law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. Thank you. Thank you.
Every Sunday, we set aside time to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together, we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that permeates this sacred place. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief or chronic pain, for illnesses seen and those unseen, for those who live with addiction, for those who live with mental illness, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly face their final days with courage. We celebrate the life and mourn the death of Tom Green, the father of Allison Green. Tom passed away on Good Friday. Allison and her children, Peyton, Laren, and Keelan, were able to be with him in Colorado for his final days. Deborah DeNoyle is now with her family recovering at home from a hospitalization for complicated infection. We hold her in our hearts and pray for her healing. Pat Argyros has a fractured rib and vertebrae from a recent fall. We pray for her comfort and for her healing. We hold in our embrace this morning Todd and Jean Seabury Collard, who are with Jean's father, Jack Collins, who had emergency brain surgery. We pray for Jack's comfort as he is surrounded by loved ones and faces his final hours. And we pray for Karen Pike, who has returned home from the hospital following a difficult surgery for uterine cancer. We continue to hold her in our embrace, praying for her comfort and surrounding her with our love. May we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace. I now invite you to share the names of those people you would like to celebrate, memorialize, or hold in the embrace of this community. For the names which have been spoken, and the names that remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, may we be forever grateful for the lives that have touched ours. Let us pray the words of Joseph Campbell. Holy Spirit, divine light, remind us that we have not even to risk the adventure alone, for the heroes of all time have gone before us. The labyrinth is thoroughly known. We have only to follow the thread of the hero path. And where we had thought to find an abomination, we shall find a God. And where we had thought to slay another, we shall slay ourselves. Where we had thought to travel outward, we will come to the center of our own existence. And where we had thought to be alone, we will be with all the world. May it be so, and amen.
Although you see the world different than me, sometimes I can touch upon the wonders that you see. All the new colors and pictures you design, oh yes, sweet darling, so glad.
Every year, our congregation dedicates itself to the spiritual upbringing of the children in our church. Although these dedication ceremonies usually include babies and young children, the congregation makes a real commitment to its youth throughout their lives. This commitment is evident by the numerous people who provide ministry to teens in their ninth grade year. The youth began their year participating in the Our Whole Lives program, a comprehensive sexuality education program rooted in the principles of our faith. Delicate subjects are handled by these capable advisors. In the second half of the year, the youth turned their attention towards spiritual matters as they contemplated their responses to questions spiritual people across the world and within our faith ponder. This year's coming of age team of advisors invested time, talent, tact, and energy. Although these advisors have been invited to the 4:30 service, if I read your name aloud and you're present, would you please stand to be recognized? The Our Whole Lives advisors this year were Ann Braddis, Marilee Inman, Jillian Lawrence, Terry Linsky, Pat Rivard, Linda Smidzik, and Jesse Williams. And the coming of age advisors are John Andrew, John Eversall, Tara LaFerla, Heather McGee Hill, and Jeff Risberg. Thank you. During the coming of age program, the youth paired with adult members of the church we call mentors. Mentorship includes attending worship and special activities with their youth, as well as providing a listening ear of support. Mentors enrich our youth's relationship to the church in meaningful ways. Finally, the parents of our ninth graders try to strike a delicate balance of being available but unobtrusive, interested but respectful of boundaries, caring but not smothering. Parents lovingly raise these youth and will continue to be sources of support in the years to come. Will any mentors or parents of the youth who are coming of age please rise? Today's offering recipient was recommended to the generosity team by the coming of age youth themselves. After deliberating several worthy options, the youth voted to donate to an organization that provides life-saving services to the people affected by the conflict in the Sudan's Darfur region. Recently named the best charity of the Twin Cities by City Pages, the American Refugee Committee provides comprehensive primary health care, digs wells, constructs latrines, and provides other services that touch all aspects of people's lives, including efforts in education, agriculture, water quality, and health services to women and children who are at risk. Information about the American Refugee Committee, as well as what you can do to help change the situation in Darfur, can be found at a table in the parish hall. Will the ushers please come forward?
Tradition has a rite of passage. In fact, marked or unmarked, celebrated or unnoticed, we each of us experience a moment when we feel as though we may have just stepped through to our spiritual adulthood. It's a liminal moment, an in-between time, and it's filled with uncertainty, but marked by deep and meaningful bonds with those who share our journey. For those of us who didn't have a Unitarian Universalist coming of age, for those of us who may have grown up in another faith tradition, we might have to work a little bit to appreciate the challenge of coming of age at Unity Church Unitarian. My own confirmation in the Christian tradition felt a great deal safer. And I can say this with the perspective of a religious educator in the Unitarian tradition and someone who grew up Lutheran, where there was, in fact, a great deal more certainty about what I needed to do to come of age. My religious task when I came of age was to commit to heart and mind the very creed that my mother and my father had memorized, the very creed that my grandparents knew and loved, even if they had memorized it in German. It was a rich moment for me, my confirmation. but it was less about my spiritual crossing and more about a passing on to me of a clearly defined faith. And even as I was being celebrated as a spiritual adult, I knew that it was not mine to do the defining of my clearly defined faith. How very different the journey that ended last night. Less certain, just as rich. Less of a passing down of a cup filled already with belief, and more instead a springing up out of new wells. The youth who came of age last night shared with gathered friends and family their own credos, the product of their own reason, the gift of their own heart, the stories that came out of their own knowing. Every one of them was different, and this is as it should be, not because being Unitarian Universalist means you can believe anything you want. In fact, our time together revealed that there are threads of belief that hold us one to another. Among them, aspirations to live lives of integrity, service, and joy. But each was different because, as Unitarian Universalists, we believe that the great end in religious instruction, as the Reverend William Ellery Channing wrote, is not to stamp our minds on the young, but to stir up their own. Not to give them a definite amount of knowledge, but to inspire a fervent love of truth. Not to burden their memories, but to quicken and strengthen the power of thought. And it's an exciting thing, but any of the youth will tell you it is a frightening thing to have a mind all stirred up, to feel a new and fervent love of truth, to experience quick and strong reactions to the world around us. So we do offer our youth, offer ourselves, a little bit of guidance. 5 questions. Questions that have burned in the human heart for as long as we can remember. Questions that we ask, in fact, our kindergartners and our third graders and our seventh graders. And then again, finally, our ninth graders who come of age. These questions are, what is the nature of God? What does it mean to be human and alive? What is the sacred as I experience it? What is the holy? What is the nature of community, especially religious community? And what does it mean that we must all face death, our own and the deaths of all whom we love? The youth did their soul work, and they had answers for these questions. Their rite of passage at Unity Church Unitarian was to articulate these answers as they are now, and then to share them with us as they did last night. And we believe, based on what we heard, that we have done our work together. Families, mentors, advisors, staff, and youth. And we heard the voices of young people whose souls have been awakened. We may well have fulfilled the great end in religious instruction because it seems as though we have encouraged young people to be excited about their inner spiritual life and about the shared religious life to which we invite them now. We are blessed by each of the youth, and especially blessed to have 2 of them with us this morning to share with you their statements of spiritual identity. And I'd like to invite Catherine Litzow.
Good morning. My name is Catherine, and my mentor could not be here today, but her name's Becca. Becca Turner. My first church experience that I can remember was 7 years ago. I was in 2nd grade, and our teacher was teaching us about all the different religions. At that point, I realized that our church was different We're open to different things and different people. Our church is a community. The people welcome anyone who want to come. My church experience is enjoyable, and this church is important to me. Church is not only important to me, though. Many people attend this church, and I am grateful for that, because that way it is more of a community. This church and all other churches are a place to come together and experience things with others. Unusually, this church is different, because nobody knows what a Unitarian is, and it's fun to be something different. Then 2 years ago, in seventh grade, we were sitting around the church learning a song. It was about the seven principles of being a Unitarian, and there was no mention of a God. And I knew that not everyone in this church believed in a God, but hearing that it wasn't in the seven principles was interesting. And it made this religion even more different. Everyone could choose to believe in a God or a higher power, but they didn't need to. I never thought I believed in a God, and I still don't. I don't like the idea of someone controlling everything about my life. My friends do believe in a God, though. I don't think anyone should feel they can't say or feel what they believe. More recently, this year actually, I lost my aunt, my dad's sister, and my grandpa, my mom's dad. This has been really hard, and it has helped me realize how I feel about death and dying. I feel it is hard to ever lose someone who's important to you, and we need to remember memories about them. When someone dies, they stay alive through the people they know and love. I don't believe in an afterlife, heaven or hell, or reincarnation. I think that an individual is left leaving behind what they did for the world and the people they have influenced. When you experience something major, like a death or a birth, you think of the reason we are here and the meaning of life. This question is unanswerable by any document. There is nothing to tell us the answer, or when we get the answer, to tell us if we're right. I think that each individual's reason for being here is different. Each person is here to do what they have to do to have lived. As my favorite TV show once said, people can live 100 years without really living for a second. This means that people need to live and experience life, and they need to contribute to making it a better place for the next generation. To make the world a better place, we need to have some land left. My favorite place to travel is a place called Jay Cook State Park. It's right here in Minnesota. And it is a place that is sacred and holy to me. And when you are there, you feel connected to whatever is around you. It is peaceful, and you can enjoy the wilderness. It is a place I feel happy and connected to the world. Being a Unitarian is probably one of the hardest things in my life, because you have to deal with people always telling you they don't know what a uni what's it is. And it is in other religions that they tell you what to think or believe in. In ours, we have to make up our minds and figure out what we believe in. I don't believe in a God, and church is still important to me. I think that the meaning of life is different depending on who you are. And the wilderness is sacred and holy to me, and so is life. Thank you.
Now invite Amir Enner to share his statement of spiritual identity.
Hi, I'm Amir, and my mentor Paul Adams is, I don't think he's here. So, I think that beliefs are not set in stone, and you can change them from moment to moment because of your experiences or by listening to someone else's views and liking what you heard and incorporating these new ideas into your own beliefs. I heard many beliefs yesterday, and a lot of them had very good ideas that I liked. As I mature, I expect my beliefs will change, and here are some of the things I believe at this moment. Religion isn't very significant to me right now. I have not figured out what religion can give me, or how it can help, or why I need a religion. At the moment, my grades are a lot more important to me than believing in a higher power. And later, I expect my future family and job might be more important to me. I believe that there could be some sort of higher power, but I haven't figured out why people think that it's focused on us, and why it's trying to guide or punish us. I think people believe in some sort of God because it helps them with unanswered questions that bother them. They don't have to deal with questions or answers when they can just say it's the will or wrath of God. I think when we are children, we know our parents are looking after us, but who looks after the adults? I think as we get older and leave the shelter of our parents, some of us want to believe that there's some higher power looking after us. I do not believe if you sin, you will go to hell, but I do believe in morals and rules for getting along with society. If you do bad things, I do not believe that there is some eternal fire that you will burn in. That fear does not influence me. Rather, I am influenced by my knowledge that my conscience and society will punish me if I murder, steal, or commit other terrible crimes. If there is a higher power, I do not believe it is necessary to have a church or a book or an object to connect with that higher power. Rather, I believe the important function of a church is to serve as a special community that people can be a part of. I believe praying isn't just a way for people to ask their higher power for things, but is also a way to list their hopes and desires, whether it is asking for someone to be cured of cancer, help finding the love of their life, or help winning the lottery. Speaking about some things in prayer may be considered acceptable, while mentioning them otherwise might be thought to bring bad luck. It may be that praying, you verbalize a problem and make it easier to resolve. I believe if you say something is sacred or holy, it's the same as saying it's extremely important to you. I think everyone can decide if something is sacred and holy to them or not. The last beliefs I would like to speak of are my views on being alive and dying. To me, being alive means being able to do something or think something, no matter how big or small. Working out is one of my outlets to being alive. When I feel the stress on my muscles and I have to get my mind set on that I'm going to keep on going, I feel alive. Another way I feel alive is by working my mind. Whether it be on math, or whether it be picturing my dreams, or whether it be hitting the right key on a piano. When a person dies, I think that the materials of their body are recycled into the earth, and eventually are incorporated into other beings and things. I do not believe that there's an afterlife, but I believe no one alive will ever need to know if there is one. Because death is inevitable and out of my control, I do not feel the need to spend time and energy wondering about it. I would rather spend my energy on being alive. Thank you.
So I have a confession before I get into the content here, and that is, it is so great to be up here looking out at all of you, especially when we're singing and just starting to really rock out together, like on the cusp of something being born. I really enjoy it. The great author E.L. Doctorow says this about writing and life. It's like driving a car at night. You never see further than your headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. Life and writing, he says again, it's like driving a car at night. You never see further than your headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. Today, this morning, we honor and celebrate our ninth graders as they come of age. Well, our focus is on them, as it should be. It is important to remember that we are all always coming of age, moving through rites of passage, great and small. Child to adult, single to married, childless to parent, hardworking to retired, adult to elder, married to divorced, able-bodied to disabled. All rites of passage contain their moment of darkness, of driving at night when we wonder, can I do this? What's next? When it comes to rites of passage, it often feels safer and easier to stay in the light, to stay in that place we know, that place of comfort. There's a story from the Middle East that illustrates this. One night, a neighbor strolling by Nasruddin's house found him outside under the street lamp, brushing through the dust. "Have you lost something, my friend?" And Nasruddin responded, "I've lost my key. Can you help me find it?" After some minutes of searching and turning up nothing, the neighbor turns to him and says, "Are you sure you lost your key here?" Nasruddin answered, "No, I didn't lose it here. I lost it inside the house." "If you lost your key inside the house, Nasruddin, why are you looking for it out here?" "Well," he responds, "there's more light out here, of course." And the point is that the well-lit places are perhaps the safe places in our lives. And while they might be safe, the true gifts of life come from driving at night, from engaging in terrain we do not know. Thank you.
Good morning. It is wonderful to be with you this morning, and I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are visiting for the very first time. We are glad that you're here. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place that helps you find and keep your balance, a place which nourishes you and inspires you to lead a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. Following the service, you're invited to join us for refreshments in the parish hall. There you can meet friends new and old, visit our bookstall, and stop by the information tables. If you are interested in learning more about becoming a member of Unity Church, please visit the welcome table in the parish hall. As always, our adults and children's library are open after every service and available to you. The libraries are on the second floor of the Elliott Wing. I encourage you to take a look at This Week at Unity in the order of service. It serves as a guide and a roadmap to deeper involvement here at the church. Join us this Wednesday for Wellspring Wednesday. Our featured speaker is Linda Smidzik, Executive Director of Rainbow Families and a member here at Unity Church. Dinner is at 6, worship at 6:45, and the lecture and other programming begins at 7:15. The congregational survey is now in full swing. This is your opportunity to let your church leadership know how you think Unity Church is living its mission to help members and friends live lives of service, integrity, and joy. You can complete the survey online or by paper, and you should have received these in your email inbox or your mailbox by now. Additionally, surveys are available to you in the parish hall after the service. It is time for our annual Project Home, in which we open our church to homeless families. There is an urgent need for overnight and weekend shifts. Please see your yellow insert for more information, and there is a training happening in the center room at 10 o'clock this morning, directly after the service. Next Sunday, the Reverend Dottie Matthews, former Unity intern, will lead our service on Work That Is Real. She will be joined by Worship Associate Craig Allen. Services are at 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and 4:30. Finally, at the conclusion of the service, Justin, Joseph, and Carrie and I would like to greet you at the Portland Avenue doors. Again, welcome to Unity Church.
I'm
Life is full of rites of passage, graduations, marriage, birth, and death. Each passage marks us and teaches us something about what it means to be alive. As a faith community, we intentionally hold a sacred space to celebrate these turnings, great and small, in our lives. Today, we celebrate our 9th grade coming-of-age class. They have wrestled with life's biggest questions, learned from their mentors, advisors, and classmates, and now they come before us to speak and share their deepest truth. Come, let us celebrate and worship together. Love is the spirit of this church, and service is law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. Thank you.
Every Sunday, we set aside time to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together, we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that permeates this sacred place. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief or chronic pain, for illnesses seen and those unseen, for those who live with addiction, for those who live with mental illness, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly face their final days with courage. We celebrate the life and mourn the death of Tom Green, the father of Allison Green. Tom passed away on Good Friday. Allison and her children, Peyton, Laren, and Keelan, were able to be with him in Colorado for his final days. Deborah DeNoyle is now with her family recovering at home from a hospitalization for complicated infection. We hold her in our hearts and pray for her healing. Pat Argyros has a fractured rib and vertebrae from a recent fall. We pray for her comfort and for her healing. We hold in our embrace this morning Todd and Jean Seabury Collard, who are with Jean's father, Jack Collins, who had emergency brain surgery. We pray for Jack's comfort as he is surrounded by loved ones and faces his final hours. And we pray for Karen Pike, who has returned home from the hospital following a difficult surgery for uterine cancer. We continue to hold her in our embrace, praying for her comfort and surrounding her with our love. May we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace. I now invite you to share the names of those people you would like to celebrate, memorialize, or hold in the embrace of this community. For the names which have been spoken, and the names that remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, may we be forever grateful for the lives that have touched ours. Let us pray the words of Joseph Campbell. Holy Spirit, divine light, remind us that we have not even to risk the adventure alone, for the heroes of all time have gone before us. The labyrinth is thoroughly known. We have only to follow the thread of the hero path. And where we had thought to find an abomination, we shall find a God. And where we had thought to slay another, we shall slay ourselves. Where we had thought to travel outward, we will come to the center of our own existence. And where we had thought to be alone, we will be with all the world. May it be so, and amen.
Every year, our congregation dedicates itself to the spiritual upbringing of the children in our church. Although these dedication ceremonies usually include babies and young children, the congregation makes a real commitment to its youth throughout their lives. This commitment is evident by the numerous people who provide ministry to teens in their ninth grade year. The youth began their year participating in the Our Whole Lives program, a comprehensive sexuality education program rooted in the principles of our faith. Delicate subjects are handled by these capable advisors. In the second half of the year, the youth turned their attention towards spiritual matters as they contemplated their responses to questions spiritual people across the world and within our faith ponder. This year's coming-of-age team of advisors invested time, talent, tact, and energy. Although these advisors have been invited to the 4:30 service, if I read your name aloud and you're present, would you please stand to be recognized? The Our Whole Lives advisors this year were Ann Braddis, Marilee Inman, Jillian Lawrence, Terry Linsky, Pat Rivard, Linda Smidzik, and Jesse Williams. And the coming of age advisors are John Andrew, John Eversall, Tara LaFerla, Heather McGee Hill, and Jeff Risberg. Thank you. During the coming of age program, the youth paired with adult members of the church we call mentors. Mentorship includes attending worship and special activities with their youth, as well as providing a listening ear of support. Mentors enrich our youth's relationship to the church in meaningful ways. Finally, the parents of our ninth graders try to strike a delicate balance of being available but unobtrusive, interested but respectful of boundaries, caring but not smothering. Parents lovingly raise these youth and will continue to be sources of support in the years to come. Will any mentors or parents of the youth who are coming of age please rise? Today's offering recipient was recommended to the generosity team by the coming-of-age youth themselves. After deliberating several worthy options, the youth voted to donate to an organization that provides life-saving services to the people affected by the conflict in the Sudan's Darfur region. Recently named the best charity of the Twin Cities by City Pages, the American Refugee Committee provides comprehensive primary health care, digs wells, constructs latrines, and provides other services that touch all aspects of people's lives, including efforts in education, agriculture, water quality, and health services to women and children who are at risk. Information about the American Refugee Committee, as well as what you can do to help change the situation in Darfur, can be found at a table in the parish hall. Will the ushers please come forward?
Tradition has a rite of passage. In fact, marked or unmarked, celebrated or unnoticed, we each of us experience a moment when we feel as though we may have just stepped through to our spiritual adulthood. It's a liminal moment, an in-between time, and it's filled with uncertainty, but marked by deep and meaningful bonds with those who share our journey. For those of us who didn't have a Unitarian Universalist coming of age, for those of us who may have grown up in another faith tradition, we might have to work a little bit to appreciate the challenge of coming of age at Unity Church Unitarian. My own confirmation in the Christian tradition felt a great deal safer. And I can say this with the perspective of a religious educator in the Unitarian tradition and someone who grew up Lutheran, where there was, in fact, a great deal more certainty about what I needed to do to come of age. My religious task when I came of age was to commit to heart and mind the very creed that my mother and my father had memorized, the very creed that my grandparents knew and loved, even if they had memorized it in German. It was a rich moment for me, my confirmation, but it was less about my spiritual crossing and more about a passing on to me of a clearly defined faith. And even as I was being celebrated as a spiritual adult, I knew that it was not mine to do the defining of my clearly defined faith. How very different the journey that ended last night. Less certain, just as rich. Less of a passing down of a cup filled already with belief, and more instead a springing up out of new wells. The youth who came of age last night shared with gathered friends and family their own credos, the product of their own reason, the gift of their own heart, the stories that came out of their own knowing. Every one of them was different, and this is as it should be, not because being Unitarian Universalist means you can believe anything you want. In fact, our time together revealed that there are threads of belief that hold us one to another. Among them, aspirations to live lives of integrity, service, and joy. But each was different because, as Unitarian Universalists, we believe that the great end in religious instruction, as the Reverend William Ellery Channing wrote, is not to stamp our minds on the young, but to stir up their own. Not to give them a definite amount of knowledge, but to inspire a fervent love of truth. Not to burden their memories, but to quicken and strengthen the power of thought. And it's an exciting thing, but any of the youth will tell you it is a frightening thing to have a mind all stirred up, to feel a new and fervent love of truth, to experience quick and strong reactions to the world around us. So we do offer our youth, offer ourselves, a little bit of guidance. 5 questions. Questions that have burned in the human heart for as long as we can remember. Questions that we ask, in fact, our kindergartners and our third graders and our seventh graders, and then again
finally, our ninth graders who come of age. These questions are, what is the nature of God? What does it mean to be human and alive? What is the sacred as I experience it? What is the holy? What is the nature of community, especially religious community? And what does it mean that we must all face death, our own and the deaths of all whom we love? The youth did their soul work, and they had answers for these questions. Their rite of passage at Unity Church Unitarian was to articulate these answers as they are now, and then to share them with us as they did last night. And we believe, based on what we heard, that we have done our work together. Families, mentors, advisors, staff, and youth. And we heard the voices of young people whose souls have been awakened. We may well have fulfilled the great end in religious instruction because it seems as though we have encouraged young people to be excited about their inner spiritual life and about the shared religious life to which we invite them now. We are blessed by each of the youth, and especially blessed to have two of them with us this morning to share with you their statements of spiritual identity. And I'd like to invite Catherine Litzo.
Good morning. My name is Catherine, and my mentor could not be here today, but her name's Becca. Becca Pruner. My first church experience that I can remember was 7 years ago. I was in second grade, and our teacher was teaching us about all the different religions. At that point, I realized that our church was different. We're open to different things and different people. Our church is a community. The people welcome anyone who want to come. My church experience is enjoyable, and this church is important to me. Church is not only important to me, though. Many people attend this church, and I am grateful for that, because that way it is more of a community. This church and all other churches are a place to come together and experience things with others. Unusually, this church is different because nobody knows what a Unitarian is, and it's fun to be something different. Then 2 years ago, in seventh grade, we were sitting around the church learning a song. It was about the seven principles of being a Unitarian, and there was no mention of a God. And I knew that not everyone in this church believed in a God, but hearing that it wasn't in the seven principles was interesting. And it made this religion even more different. Everyone could choose to believe in a God or a higher power, but they didn't need to. I never thought I believed in a God, and I still don't. I don't like the idea of someone controlling everything about my life. My friends do believe in a God, though. I don't think anyone should feel they can't say or feel what they believe. More recently, this year actually, I lost my aunt, my dad's sister, and my grandpa, my mom's dad. This has been really hard, and it has helped me realize how I feel about death and dying. I feel it is hard to ever lose someone who's important to you, and we need to remember memories about them. When someone dies, they stay alive through the people they know and love. I don't believe in an afterlife, heaven or hell, or reincarnation. I think that an individual is left leaving behind what they did for the world and the people they have influenced. When you experience something major, like a death or a birth, you think of the reason we are here and the meaning of life. This question is unanswerable by any document. There's nothing to tell us the answer, or when we get the answer, to tell us if we're right. I think that each individual's reason for being here is different. Each person is here to do what they have to do to have lived. As my favorite TV show once said, people can live 100 years without really living for a second. This means that people need to live and experience life, and they need to contribute to making it a better place for the next generation. To make the world a better place, we need to have some land left. My favorite place to travel is a place called Jay Cook State Park. It's right here in Minnesota. And it is a place that is sacred and holy to me. And when you are there, you feel connected to whatever is around you. It is peaceful, and you can enjoy the wilderness. It is a place I feel happy and connected to the world. Being a Unitarian is probably one of the hardest things in my life, because you have to deal with people always telling you they don't know what a uni what's it is. And it is in other religions, they tell you what to think or believe in. In ours, we have to make up our minds and figure out what we believe in. I don't believe in a God, church is still important to me. I think that the meaning of life is different depending on who you are. And the wilderness is sacred and holy to me, and so is life. Thank you.
We now invite Amir Enner to share his statement of spiritual identity.
Hi, I'm Amir, and my mentor, Paul Adams, is, I don't think he's here. So, I think that beliefs are not set in stone, and you can change them from moment to moment because of your experiences or by listening to someone else's views and liking what you heard and incorporating these new ideas into your own beliefs. I heard many beliefs yesterday, and a lot of them had very good ideas that I liked. As I mature, I expect my beliefs will change, and here are some of the things I believe at this moment. Religion isn't very significant to me right now. I have not figured out what religion can give me, or how it can help, or why I need a religion. At the moment, my grades are a lot more important to me than believing in a higher power. And later, I expect my future family and job might be more important to me. I believe that there could be some sort of higher power, but I haven't figured out why people think that it's focused on us and why it's trying to guide or punish us. I think people believe in some sort of God because it helps them with unanswered questions that bother them. They don't have to deal with questions or answers when they can just say it's the will or wrath of God. I think when we are children, we know our parents are looking after us, but who looks after the adults? I think as we get older and leave the shelter of our parents, some of us want to believe that there's some higher power looking after us. I do not believe if you sin, you will go to hell, but I do believe in morals and rules for getting along with society. If you do bad things, I do not believe that there is some eternal fire that you will burn in. That fear does not influence me. Rather, I'm influenced by my knowledge that my conscience and society will punish me if I murder, steal, or commit other terrible crimes. If there is a higher power, I do not believe it is necessary to have a church or a book or an object to connect with that higher power. Rather, I believe the important function of a church is to serve as a special community that people can be a part of. I believe praying isn't just a way for people to ask their higher power for things, but is also a way to list their hopes and desires, whether it is asking for someone to be cured of cancer, help finding the love of their life, or help winning the lottery. Speaking about some things in prayer may be considered acceptable, while mentioning them otherwise might be thought to bring bad luck. It may be that praying, you verbalize a problem and make it easier to resolve. I believe if you say something is sacred or holy, it's the same as saying it's extremely important to you. I think everyone can decide if something is sacred and holy to them or not. The last beliefs I would like to speak of are my views on being alive and dying. To me, being alive means being able to do something or think something, no matter how big or small. Working out is one of my outlets to being alive. When I feel the stress on my muscles and I have to get my mind set on that I'm going to keep on going, I feel alive. Another way I feel alive is by working my mind. Whether it be on math or whether it be picturing my dreams or whether it be hitting the right key on a piano. When a person dies, I think that the materials of their body are recycled into the earth and eventually are incorporated into other beings and things. I do not believe that there's an afterlife, but I believe no one alive will ever need to know if there is one. Because death is inevitable and out of my control, I do not feel the need to spend time and energy wondering about it. I would rather spend my energy on being alive. Thank you.
So I have a confession before I get into the content here, and that is, it is so great to be up here looking out all of you, especially when we're singing and just starting to really rock out. Yeah, like on the cusp of something being born. I really enjoy it. The great author E.L. Doctorow says this about writing and life. It's like driving a car at night. Never see further than your headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. Life and writing, he says again, it's like driving a car at night. You never see further than your headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. Today, the